Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
The table of showbread and the altar and all, and they were overlaid with gold, but they were made with acacia wood. Bible calls it shittim wood, S-H-I-T-T-I-M. It was from acacia trees, what we're told. And it's a kind of wood that would never rot. It would never decay. And overlaid by that would be pure solid gold. And it was a picture of Jesus Christ, that in his flesh, he was perfect. There was no sin. It spoke of his humanity. And it was overlaid with gold. It spoke of his deity. So important things, we talked about this last week, that every article from the outside in of that tabernacle pointed to Jesus Christ. Well, he continues on in verse number 5. And over it, over the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak, now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle. Notice it's plural, priest, plural. They went always into the first tabernacle. That's the holy place, accomplishing the service of God. Verse number 7, but into the second, the holiest of the holies, went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood. Very important, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Now, if we can get past this later on this morning, we will. But I kind of got just the notes, just amazing what's there in verses 5, 6, and 7. I want to begin in verse number 5 where it talks about those cherubims and that mercy seat. The mercy seat was the lid that covered the ark. We talked about that Ark of the Covenant. We think of some big piece of furniture, but we looked at it last week. It was only like 2.5 feet high and not very wide. It was smaller than this communion table. Remember, we gave you even the tabernacle was only 15 foot wide, and my guesstimation was, Philip, it's about 15 foot from this pew there, and that's about the width and the height of the tabernacle. And in the Holy of Holies, behind that veil, which obviously is 15 foot high. And David Norris, once in a while, David Norris asked me a good question, once in a while. A sensible question, kidding, okay? He said, how did the priest get from the holy, from the first section into the Holy of Holies? How did they do that? Well, it's a great question. The Bible does not say, but obviously he couldn't have gone through the middle, because at Jesus' death, it was ripped from the top to the bottom in twain, okay? He opened it was a solid piece of curtain. So the only two options, did some of the priests lift it up, and he kind of crawled under there? The Bible does not say, but if you read about this, that veil was very, very, very heavy. It wasn't like some curtain you have on in your drapes at home. It's very heavy. I don't remember the weight somebody claims it to be, but anyway, very heavy. I picture that he would go around by the side. Look, we're at the edge, because remember the altar of incense is in the middle, okay, about 15 foot. And before he would go into the Holy of Holies, he has to go to the altar of incense and get off those coals off the altar and the incense and put it in that golden censer. And so really, he's only taking 3 steps, walking up that, and he just kind of enters. That's, I believe, the way he would go in. And then when he'd go in with the golden incense, remember we read in the book of Leviticus, where he would wave that golden censer in that over the altar. And it just filled that 15 by 15 by 15 room with smoke. Okay, and then he would offer the blood of himself, and we'll get into that later, but he would offer his blood first, the blood of the bullock for himself first. He'd go back out, slay another bullock, come back in, offer the second, he'd put the blood back on the mercy seat for the sins of the people. Then after that, he would go back out, and then they had that goat. Remember, we talked about that goat of the scapegoat. that he'd lay his hands upon a scapegoat, and a fit man would take that goat out into the wilderness. It pictured the sins of the people, that God would forgive their sins as far as the east is from the west, as a picture of that. So you have all of this. But interesting, on that mercy seat, which was in the Holy of Holies, and again, it wasn't a very big piece, if I could use that word, furniture. There was that lid that covered the ark. At each end of that ark was the form of a cherub with wings outstretched over that ark, that their wings would touch, and they would point over the ark, and the wing, they're facing both sides, and the wings would touch. Different pieces of they would meet in the middle of the altar. Okay, they were protecting. I have so much here. The purpose of that was protection. We see that the purpose of cherubims were, you would not believe my head right now. It's just going 100 miles an hour, and I got to slow down. Cherubims are angelic beings that God created. Now, they are not angels that we read in the Bible. They're different. The purpose of cherubims that we find are God's protecting angels. We find them very early, the first time mentioned in Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 25, where God had drove Adam and Eve out. And I love that word, drove. It's a powerful word. It means when God, after Adam and Eve sinned, he didn't just have to tell them to leave. All right, people, you have to leave. The word is drove. It's a word of, I won't say violence, but it's a very strong word where he had to push them. He had to, like you drive cattle driver, he had to make them leave, and who could blame them? They're in the Garden of Eden. I could see him being facetious, but I could see him hugging a tree. I don't want to go, you know, being facetious. But that's what the word drove means. They were not willing to leave. They didn't say, okay. Why? Because now they're sinners. God tells them to go. And that's what all was included in that word drove. Can you imagine? Are y'all following what I'm saying? If they were perfect, if they were innocent, if God told them to leave, well, they would, yes, sir, out the door. Instead, they were sinful, and they already showing disobedience because God had to drive them out of the garden. And not only that, he had to put it at the entrance of the Garden of Eden. We read in Genesis 3:25, these cherubims with flaming swords to block the entrance back into the Garden of Eden. Why did they do that? Well, the preceding verse tells us that lest Adam enters back into the Garden of Eden, eats of the fruit of the tree of life, and live forever. And God, so the matter of fact, if Adam would have ate of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, Adam would have still been here today. And if he would have ate it with his sinful body, he would have still be here some 6,000 years later in his sinful body. Now, don't argue me about that. Argue with God, because God said, lest he eat and live forever. So to keep him from doing that, he put these cherubims with the flaming swords to keep Adam and Eve out of that garden. What happened to the Garden of Eden? People ask me, what do you think happened to the Garden of Eden? I believe it was destroyed during the flood. That God had them cherubims there, and nobody is ever to enter into that. That's just my opinion. The Bible did not say. But I believe when he destroyed the earth with the flood, he just destroyed it all. But the point, to make them cherubim, they were protecting angels. That's their ministry. Okay? We see that they were created by God. It's interesting, when you think of cherubim, you have all kinds of descriptions, and I won't go into, the Bible describes these. But in 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse 7, it speaks of them having two wings. So these were two winged beings. Okay. I don't even want to put them in the angelic order because they're different. But for the sake of argument, in the angelic order, they had two wings. Now, since we're talking about angels as we think about them, heavenly angels and all, the Bible nowhere speaks of angels having wings. Every time they appear before in people, every time you see them, they appear in a man form. Angels do not have wings. We're talking about that order of angels that God had created. So don't confuse them with cherubim.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, May God bless you richly, is our prayer.